You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Hey, Broncos country. This is Cody Rourke here, host of Locked On Broncos. I know it's Sunday, but we have a very, very special pregame edition of Locked On Broncos. I had the opportunity yesterday on Saturday before the Auburn-Alabama game to talk to Nick Ferguson, former safety for the Denver Broncos, former coaching intern for the Denver Broncos in 2015, as well as he was recently with the San Francisco 49ers this training camp and offseason as a coaching intern as well. His relationship with John Lynch is tight-knit, as always. Obviously reenacting with Kyle Shanahan due to being, you know, obviously a lifelong friend and obviously a player under Mike Shanahan. Nick Ferguson joins me here on a very pregame special edition of Locked On Broncos. Enjoy the interview, and obviously we'll get the full game recap of the Oakland Raiders Broncos game tomorrow on Locked On Broncos. So here we go, Nick Ferguson. So right now, here on Locked On Broncos, I'm joined by Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety, one of my favorite players of all time, and obviously a mentor for me as well. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, man. You know, I had a very good Thanksgiving. You know, I was surprised at the NFL results. Obviously, the Vikings are playing really well. We had a good shootout game against Detroit with the Vikings, and then we had the Chargers putting a whopping up on the Cowboys. And right now, it's looking like the Chargers might be the best team right now in the AFC West. It's kind of head-scratching a little bit. But other than that, I enjoyed my food, and I hope you had a very merry Thanksgiving as well, gathered with family, friends, loved ones, and football, my man. So I appreciate you here for taking the time to join me once again. Obviously, fans love you. You know, last time you and I had an interview was probably the most talked about show that I've had in quite a long time, and they just loved hearing your insight stories. And obviously, your little throwback story to the one time you stopped and you made Jerome Bettis fumble the ball and Denver won the game. That was a big one. That fans love that, man. So anytime we get you on here, you know, it's definitely a gift for myself and for obviously Broncos country listening, so definitely appreciate that. What I want to talk to you about, obviously being a former Denver Bronco and kind of, you know, being around the team, you were a coaching intern back in 2015 under Gary Kubiak. This previous offseason, you spent your time with the 49ers, is that correct?
Yes, I did, and it was a great experience. Give a little backstory on how that actually happened. I played in the NFL 10 years, but I never really would go to the Super Bowl. So for the past 2 years, I decided to go to the Super Bowl in San Francisco, then I went to the one in Houston. And while in Houston, I bumped into my old friend John Lynch and just, you know, kind of congratulated him on getting the GM job. And decided we'd stay in contact. And then I started thinking more about the aspect of coaching. And I said to him, I said, look, I don't know what you guys are doing with the coaching internship position, but kind of keep me in mind. And it was a great experience. They have a lot of young players. I know that the record right now at this point isn't that great, but you've coached and you've been involved with football for a while, and it's the process, and you have to be willing to go through the process, and that's where they are right now. But you know, I can tell you both John and Kyle are dedicated to putting a quality team together, and you can tell by the move they made, shipping out Brian Hoyer and bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo. So there's some great things on the horizon for both guys. And once again, it was an excellent opportunity for me to get closer to football from a different aspect of, you know, playing on the field, but just putting a team together. You know, how do you do that? The game plan, and you know, Kyle, you know, is just like his dad, Mike, who I played for in my time in Denver. I mean, just offensive-oriented. And Kyle is one of those guys who wants to be really involved, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but, you know, he would come in defensive meetings. He wants to see what you guys are doing, what the guys are doing on the defensive side of the ball. And, he's a great mind in football, and I know they're going to have a lot of success in the years to come.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I was really impressed with is as soon as John Lynch took over general manager responsibilities for the 49ers, the moment that I was starting to measure just how great I think they could be in the future is based on the type of draft that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, you know, they had initially. They made some very great draft picks, and I think they're building for the future. Like you said, obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo, they got him out of New England, and he could be the feature guy for them going forward. They've added some wide receiver weapons as well. So very excited to see about that. And obviously, each year I enjoy looking for, you know, finding your journey. You know, obviously 2015, interning with the Broncos, and then back with the 49ers, your old good pal John Lynch, who both of you guys have unleashed hits on many wide receivers or tight ends coming across the middle down there in Denver. So definitely a different element, but it's always great to see two former Denver Bronco greats, you know, still collaborating, still staying in touch, and doing something football related with John Lynch, and obviously you coaching the internship. So that's awesome. You know, obviously spending time with both the Broncos and the 49ers over the last 2 years, you've had the ability to kind of see both rosters, and Denver's roster back in 2015, they have a majority of the guys, a good portion of them still around. Obviously, DeMarcus Ware's retired for the Broncos. Peyton Manning has retired. You got to witness them go out on top. Super Bowl 50, like you said, you got to go to the Super Bowl down there in San Francisco. Right now, the Denver Broncos, people are starting to look at it now as at 3-7, as kind of a rebuild now, due to the fact that, you know, they started off 3-1 during the first part before the bye week, and then after the bye week, they just faltered and they've lost six straight games. And many people are just kind of scratching their heads wondering, well, what happened? What went wrong? The Broncos in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, they looked pretty good. The offense looked good. Trevor Siemian looked very good. And then obviously they destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. And at that point, people are like, okay, the Denver Broncos are for real. You go through, you beat Oakland 16-10 right before the bye week. You go to the bye week, get some guys healthy, you know, kind of tweak some things, and obviously come out against the New York Giants, and then you lose. And at that point, that's where the skid started with the six-game drop. In your opinion, just from watching, just from a guy who used to play in the NFL, as well as a guy who just got done coaching and obviously doing an internship in the NFL, what can you put your finger on that's where the Denver Broncos have gone wrong during the six-game skid?
Well, here's one thing about doing a coaching internship. The third preseason game was against the Denver Broncos, and we got a chance to practice against them throughout the week, so I got a chance to see Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian up close and personal. And the first thing that stood out to me was, you know, how several guys on both offense and defense were raving about Trevor, and, you know, they had a lot of confidence in him and what he could do, opposed to Paxton. It felt as though Paxton was still a ways away, really hadn't picked up the offense as well as they had hoped that he would in his second year. But for me, being a guy that watched football and evaluated football, you know, I was away from the situation. I wasn't in the locker room, so I could look at it with a different lens. And from what I saw, you know, the great thing that they were saying from Trevor was great on all his passes in practice. He was the same way as he was in the game, where he was making all his completions to, you know, whatever receivers that he was throwing to. So say he was, you know, 20 of 20. So now you're gauging and say, well, he was very efficient that day. But for me, being looking at it from an evaluating standpoint and a coaching standpoint and even a player standpoint, I said, well, that may be great as far as attempts and completions, but where are those completions? Are we talking about splash plays? Are we talking about, you know, I'm going to throw it to my back out of the backfield and let him run with the ball? Am I throwing those short passes? I'm throwing the passes towards the sideline, like those corner routes. But for me, you need big plays in the NFL. I mean, granted, we need balance, but we need to be able to take the ball down the field and push it down the field vertically to make, you know, that those secondary guys really respect that. And his completion attempt ratio was great, which was better than Paxton Lynch. And I'm just like thinking, well, why are you guys raving about that? That's not the type of production that's going to carry you forward in the season. And one of the bigger issues is there was a lot of pressure on the defensive side of the ball. And some would argue, well, you know, T.J. Ward is no longer in there, so they lost a part of the defense. No. I mean, Simmons is he's a quality guy. Coach Joe Woods, when I talked to him, when I saw him at the practice, he was raving about it. Everyone was raving about him as far as, you know, how quickly he was picking up the scheme. He was a smart guy. He can tackle well. I mean, he's a guy that can go from sideline to sideline as far as in the middle of the field. That's what you really needed, you know. So you still had all the other guys, the key elements there for the Denver Broncos. Keith Lee was there, Bradley Roby, Chris Harris, Darren Stewart. So essentially, everything was still in place, and you don't just lose T.J. Ward and everything just kind of tanks. But for me, looking at this team now, where they are at 3-7, to me, and John and Vice President of Operations John Elway said it when he said it best when he called them soft. Right? Because every team has to have an identity on either side of the ball collectively as a team. And right now, the Broncos don't have an identity.
Yeah.
They don't have an identity as well. The defense that was so strong last year, they're not playing the same way. You mentioned DeMarcus Ware. He's not there. He was a guy that was opposite Von Miller, who would push the opposite side and force a quarterback to either step up in the pocket. So right now, Von Miller is getting those isolated pass rushes where now they're utilizing maybe a back or a tight end to block him, but no one opposite him is showing up. You know, Shaq Barrett is not showing up. Shane Ray, who just came back, are not showing up. Any of the interior linemen, they're not showing up. So you're putting a lot of pressure on the back end and Von Miller to make all the plays. And that's very difficult because you're talking about a defense that didn't just stop people. They turned the ball over and turned those defensive plays into points to help the offense. That's not happening this year. So that's some of the issues that we're seeing with the Denver Broncos. But once again, you understand this. It's team sports. It's not all on the defense. At some point, the offense has to come to the party. And the experiment that is Trevor Siemian, it's not panning out. Let's just call it, you know, what it is. You know, he's not that type of quarterback. And I like the guy. I really do, and I wish him the best. But he doesn't have that skill set. And the skill set I'm talking about is not just, you know, being able to play the quarterback position, but walking out there every Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, and your guys have confidence in you. If we're down by 14, we know Trevor is going to bring us back because he has that lit leadership. That's the thing that Peyton had, even though his skill set had diminished a lot. It was just the fact that the guys believed in 18. When he was out there, he made everyone better because they felt that they had a shot. With Trevor, not so much. And I, you know what? And I want to get long-winded here, but when I look at the quarterback situation, what comes to mind is, and you have to ask yourself this, here's a person in John Elway who is a Hall of Fame quarterback. You drafted Paxton Lynch, right? You moved up to get him, and then you drafted, I'm drawing a blank right now.
Chad Kelly?
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, yeah.
You drafted Brock Osweiler. The development of those two quarterbacks have not really been to the caliber of what we expected at this particular point. So Paxton Lynch gets his opportunity this week. We got to really see what this kid is made of, right? Did we stick with him? Did we move past him? And the idea, you know, putting pieces, you know, around him, and that is a key essential part to why the Broncos have not really played that well this season is not efficient and consistent play at the quarterback position.
You know, I think when we look at the Broncos quarterback situation, I think you nailed it perfectly, too, when you talked about the difference in terms of leadership with Peyton Manning, even though his skills were diminished a little bit in 2015. He didn't have a lot of zip on the ball like he used to, but the fact is guys rallied around him, especially if they found themselves down. The defense was fired up because they didn't want to let a guy like Peyton Manning down, and they also had a guy by the name of DeMarcus Ware who was the defensive version of Peyton Manning for the Denver Broncos defense. Now, they rallied, like you said, they created turnovers, they caused havoc for opposing offenses. It almost seems like just this year in this last six games, going back and watching the film, is that there were times where the Denver Broncos defense would do their part for the first half, and what would happen is we'd have a special teams muff, and that would lead to the defense being put in a terrible field position, and obviously the opposing offense scoring. And like you said, it is a team sport. Von Miller is doing, you know, Von Miller still playing very great on the edge. His level of play is still all pro. Now, the difference is, like you said, Shaquille Barrett, Shane Ray, they're not quite helping by getting to the quarterback, even though Shaquille Barrett, I think, is better on the edge in terms of run stopping. What teams are trying to do now, we witnessed it with New England, we witnessed it with Philadelphia, they tried to make it to where they would split Von Miller out and force him to be able to, you know, to cover a slot receiver or a tight end that's offset and essentially get Von Miller out of the box and then the pass rush. At that point, when you can't generate a pass rush, it's hard for defensive backs to cover. And obviously, we've seen Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib and Bradley Roby and the no-fly zone. They've been pretty upset lately because they're just not playing, you know, they're not having the opportunities that they used to. And Chris Harris Jr. is only being targeted 3.2 snaps, you know, throws per game compared to 5.5 last season. The Broncos right now are just a little frustrated. And it seems like when it goes back to that leadership element you were talking about, when the Broncos are down 14-0, it's almost like the defense doesn't have faith in anybody on the offense because there is no leader right now that's evident on the offensive side of the ball. And that's where I think they're really, you know, having a difficult time in terms of rallying together at this point. Like you said, it is a team sport, and it's been frustrating, you know, from a fan's perspective, an 0-6 skid, but at the same time, I'm looking at the silver lining in it, and I see a lot of good things that the Broncos are doing. Now, think about it. You have a whole entire new coaching staff. Vance Joseph, a first-year head coach. Joe Woods, first-year defensive coordinator. He, you know, in the offseason, many franchises were vying to get Joe Woods' services, and he stayed with the Denver Broncos, which is a great thing, and obviously you bring in Mike McCoy, and obviously the Mike McCoy thing didn't work out, and now you have Bill Musgrave taking over as offensive coordinator. We saw what Bill Musgrave did with Derek Carr last year. If anything that I've seen in the NFL so far, we've seen it with Carson Wentz, we've seen it with Deshaun Watson, and even Alex Smith down there in Kansas City. It's almost like we've seen offenses kind of tailor-made to the strengths of their quarterbacks rather than having, you know, the strengths of your offensive line or the strengths of your receivers. It's tailor-made to the quarterback play, and Carson Wentz right now is a prime example of a system that fits his abilities naturally, and I'm only hoping and I'm wondering if Bill Musgrave will do the same thing with Paxton Lynch. Now, obviously, heading into this game, the Raiders are 4-7 on the year. The Broncos are 3-7 at this point. What is your keys to the game for the Denver Broncos in order to come out with a victory in Oakland this Sunday?
Well, you just mentioned the fact of Musgrave and, you know, Carson Wentz. And to me, that's a great idea, and every coach should do that, but they don't. You see, you have so many coaches who have been in systems so long, that's all they know. They don't know how to make those kind of in-game adjustments to their scheme so the player can be successful. I mean, look at what's happening with Tyrod Taylor and Nathan Peterman in Buffalo. It's just not knowing how to create a system so the poor quarterback can be successful. So the key to the game is going to be for Musgrave to kind of water down, you know, everything in the playbook. Make it really simple. When you look at both Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch, to me, two guys are mere images of one another. Both mobile. Paxton, to me, more mobile than Brock is, but tall guys, strong arms. So for me, the idea is getting him out the pocket, putting pressure on the edge of the defense, because now those linebackers, those outside linebackers, those defensive ends, they have to now fight to try to maintain outside leverage to get up the pocket and keep him inside the pocket, which now allows those windows that are on that second level of that defense. That's where you have to attack. And, yeah, you want to take shots down the field, but soften up the defense a little bit. Take what they're giving. If they're going to give you those short intermediate routes, take that. Take the comeback. So now you can run stutter goals, and I haven't really been seeing that out of the offense. And the frustrating thing, and I've endured this in my career with certain coaches I've been around, they have these elaborate schemes, and they want to prove how smart they are. But if your players can't execute the plays that you're drawing up, then that means you need to change it. They have too much on their plate, too many, you know, adjustments, pre- and post-snap adjustments, and that's tough for a quarterback, let alone it's tough for a rookie quarterback. Peyton Manning talked about it himself. When he came to the Denver Broncos and it had, you know, there were some issues with Kubiak's system. Because now you're talking about having a quarterback trying to learn a whole different system and a whole different terminology. And that was for Peyton Manning, a Hall of Fame quarterback. So imagine how a second-year player could be struggling, right? So now you have to say, look, what is it that our players do well? put the plays in that accentuate the assets of the quarterback, because if you don't, then it makes it really difficult. And I know, you know, Mike McCoy was, you know, this kind of genius, and he was great at, you know, coming up with plays. He did it with Tim Tebow. But sometimes you got to break it down and say, look, our guy is struggling. He may not be right where we need him at this moment, right? So, yes, if we have to water it down, we have to water it down, because it's all about staying ahead of the chains, inside the red zone, scoring. And that was one of the things that the Broncos didn't do. So against a Raiders team that they fired, their defensive coordinator too. So now you're Bill Musgrave. I mean, the advantage goes to you. You were in the building. You know the personnel on both sides of the ball. And they fired their defensive coordinator. So we know they're not going to change too much of their scheme over a short period of time. So let's attack that secondary, a secondary that has no turnovers. They produce no turnovers. And we look at pressure on the offensive, on the defensive side of the ball. The person we have to keep off the stat sheet is Khalil Mack. As long as the Broncos keep Khalil Mack off the stat sheet, they have an opportunity. Now Paxton can look. Now he can find his targets. Now we can run double moves, run crosses, run picks and rubs, anything to get him comfortable. We know the defense is frustrated. I can tell you, I see it in their faces. And the reason they're frustrated is not because they lack the ability. It's not the fact that Vance lacks the ability as a first-time head coach. It is not like Joe Wood lacks the ability. The frustration comes because as a defense, you know this, right? If your defense is playing 60-plus plays a game, that's a problem. Guys get tired. I don't care how great you are at jamming and playing defense. Fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Oh, man, I love that quote.
Green Bay Packers coach, you know, Vince Lombardi said it, and it's true. You can't ask me to be out there defending 60-plus plays a game and not thinking that there's going to be a breakdown in coverage.
Yep.
You can't. So the offense needs to sustain drives, keep the defense fresh, run the ball to give balance, and then run some play actions off of running the ball. Those are the keys to the game.
Well, I look forward to certainly seeing what Bill Musgrave can bring, especially with a guy in Paxton Lynch, a guy who's tall, has a big arm, and has the ability to be mobile in the pocket, a little more mobile than anybody else that the Broncos have had this year or in recent memory since Tim Tebow. I'm excited to see what it looks like. But before we get off air here real quick, Nick, I want to ask you a question, you know, because a lot of people in Broncos country, even certain players on the Denver Broncos, have kind of expressed some frustration in regards to John Elway's comments saying after the bye week, I think we got a little bit soft. Now, me personally, I look at that and I don't take offense to that, because I go back and I watch the film and I see the way that things have turned out. And ultimately, I know John Elway isn't just putting the blame on the players and everything. He even came out and said that includes me. That includes me, the organization as a whole. We've got to get better. And unfortunately, it caused some outrage. What are your thoughts on that in terms of the, you know, players and obviously fan reactions in a negative way in terms of being in regards to John Elway's comments?
Well, fans are going to react the way that they're going to react. And when we see it in sports all the time, it's always that sudden knee-jerk reaction. But when I look at the comments, I like the comments. If you're the guy running the ship and you feel as though you kind of created this team in your image and they're not living up to those expectations, call them out. That was the one thing that we did when I was a member of the Denver Broncos. It was an open-door policy, and Mike Shanahan, we had a leadership council where we could, in fact, do that. We can call guys out as far as what we felt that they were not doing and contributing to the team, and, you know, majority of the time, those guys were out of our locker room. So, to me, call the guys out. Let them know, hey, listen, I'm the vice president of operations. I went to several Super Bowls. I've won. I'm a Hall of Famer. This is the level of expectations we have in Denver. And when you look at certain teams around the NFL, and this is the thing that separates so many teams, and that's why I tell people all the time, every year there's always the same teams competing for a playoff spot, the Super Bowl spot. You know, the Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, the Denver Broncos. There's a reason why, because there's an expectation that is there that has been set before you even got there. And when you're not playing that type of football, you deserve to be called out. There's no one on either side of that ball who should take offense to John Elway. There's no fan that should take offense to that because we've all watched them play. The record is 3-7. The record is 3-7 for a reason. And, like, to give you an idea, if you're offensive lineman and a linebacker, a blitzing linebacker, or pass rusher knocks your quarterback on the ground, and that doesn't frustrate you, and you don't get angry, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a defender and you give up a touchdown on a sluggo because you didn't move your feet, that's on you. That should be a problem. You can't get comfortable. You can't start to get comfortable like some teams in the NFL where they don't expect to win. They hope to win. They don't expect to win, right? Because they know that their quality of play is not to the standard of a championship level. In Denver, that I don't care where you come from or what team you came from, that is what the mindset is when you walk in the door. When you touch the field and you put on that uniform, you're coming out here representing not just yourself, but this organization and its tradition. If you're not doing that, you're doing a disservice. And I would even go as far as to say, and I put it on Twitter, right? Maybe some guys need to reevaluate the things in their life as far as what's important. Look in that mirror, because I can tell you this, it's just like marriage. Some people want to be married. They're infatuated with the idea of being married. But once the wedding is over and the real work starts, they don't want to do that part. Football is the same way. You can't want the fame, the media attention, everything else that comes along with it, but on Sunday, Thursday, or Monday, you don't want to work. Don't get comfortable, because we know the lifespan of a player in the NFL is really short. It's even shorter when you're not playing the way that you expect it to play. So some of those guys should give some of that money that the team is paying. They should give some of that back.
Yep.
Pat Bowles' name is on their check. They need to give some of that money back because they haven't been playing up to that level of expectations that we look at on both sides of the ball so far this season. Your record is 3-7. They're lucky he didn't say anything worse than that, but calling himself.
You know, I look at John Elway's comments, like I said, and I see it from your perspective. I like it. If for me, as a player who's played football for 14 years, when a coach has told us that we are playing soft, it motivates me to work even harder. And I think when you add the element in the NFL with money and guys like that, I think people misinterpret comments. Like you said, it's a knee-jerk reaction. But I'm very excited to see, obviously, what comes out of the last 5 to 6 weeks for the Denver Broncos, because John Elway's expectation, he says it every year, our job and our goal that we want to, you know, come out with is to compete for world championships year in and year out, and that expectation will never change. He's trying to do his best to carry along what Pat Bowlen envisioned for the entire team. So I think that's super important for fans and even some of these players that we're talking about to really realize that you have a very good expectation. The moment somebody doesn't correct you on your play, if you're playing soft, for example, that's when you know that they don't care. So it just goes to show that John Elway really cares, the organization really cares, and I think that's the most important thing. So like always, Nick, I love having you here on the show. Fans love having you. Your input, your experience as a coach, as a player in the National Football League is very, very special and valuable in terms of our listeners listening at home, and obviously your weekly show over there at NBC as well. Tell fans of Locked On Broncos how they can hear you.
Well, you can hear me on NFL, on TuneIn throughout the week, NFL No Huddle. I sub in for Cordell on occasion. But also, you can hear me on NFL on TuneIn, show First and Go. Every Sunday, me and Brian Weber take you around the NFL. We cover every team, every aspect of it. There's not a program on the radio currently right now that does that. You get insight from individuals who are calling games that particular day. We have Ian Rappaport joins us every Sunday, Monday morning. Quarterback, Peter King, he joins us every Sunday as well. So you get some of the best insight from around the league. We have our fantasy football insiders that get you prepared. And you know, it's a great show, and feel free to subscribe. If you subscribe to NFL on TuneIn, and you get everything about the National Basketball Association, MLB. It's just a great media group to be a part of. Feel free to also hit me up, Instagram and Twitter, same account, at Nick_Ferguson_25. I look forward to engaging with you guys.
Well, thank you so much, Nick, for joining us here once again over at Locked On Broncos. We appreciate you. You have a lifelong membership to the show. You have a seat at the table every day, my man. So I appreciate you so much for joining.
All right, man. Take care. And anytime you need me on, just give me a call.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
There we go. Nick Ferguson joined Locked On Broncos to talk about the current state of the Denver Broncos in this very, very special pregame edition of Locked On Broncos. I know it's Sunday, but guess what? This was so special. This was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up in terms of being able to interview Nick and get him here on Locked On Broncos on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's definitely great, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this. Obviously, the Denver Broncos kickoff here in just a few moments on CBS against the Oakland Raiders. We'll see how Paxton Lynch does. We'll see how the Denver Broncos do under Bill Musgrave's offensive guidance and direction here. Locked On Broncos. We'll bring you the full game recap tomorrow on tomorrow's episode here. LockedOnBroncos.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos and follow me at Cody Rourke NFL. So once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying go Broncos. Let's beat the Raiders.